everyone, and welcome to another episode of Experience Community, the University Advancement Podcast powered by us. I'm really thrilled to have today's guest because she is someone I've been able to work with really closely since she's joined the Advancement Division, and that is our Director of Student Leadership Relations, Lauren Machunas. Lauren, at the end of last episode, I promised people we would share with them what exactly is the Director of Student Leadership Relations. I know, well, I think I know, because every other moment I'm yelling down the hall, Lauren, can you help me with something? But for our advancement colleagues who aren't exactly sure what it is you do, share a little bit about your not-so-average days.
Thank you, Diane. I'm happy to. It's a good starting point. In my role as the Director of Student Leadership Relations, it really is putting an emphasis on the relations piece of it. So working with students who might be in the prospect line of applying to Northeastern or just getting interested. These might be referrals that come in from alum or from others at the university. And I work closely with our admissions office to make sure those students, have the best possible experience while they're here on campus during their visits. I also work with students who are enrolled right now and all the way through graduation. So that means if any student issues come up or if any parents call, maybe able to connect with those on campus that can help the students.
So your role is really very near and dear to my heart for a variety of reasons, but one of them is that my own career trajectory was very similar. I started in undergraduate admissions and then moved to undergraduate advising, did a full gamut of different kinds of things, and then only kind of in the last third of my career came to advancement. So can you just talk a little bit about, you mentioned the relationship part of what you do. Clearly, you care about students a lot. Can you just share with us, how did that develop? You're a double Husky. We'll get into your degrees. but where did that just kind of passion for education and for working with students come from?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It certainly evolved over time. I had an interest in working with within education, and certainly my degree, my master's degree was in applied educational psych, and that had set me up on one trajectory. I thought I was going to be a school counselor someday. And while I did my practicum in school counseling and had a great time, I realized truly my love was working with the 18 to 25-year-old population. A lot of that had to do with the practicum I was at, was even though it was in a high school, it's in an alternative high school, so they were working with students who were over age. And that process, was the first beginning steps of understanding who I wanted to work with and the population I wanted to work with. While I was in my master's program, I was employed here at Northeastern, so I also had an entire lineup of student workers and co-ops that I was working with. And truly, I think it all started in the back room where we had the offices and the cubicles for the students and getting to know them and hearing their stories about what their college experience was like. And from that, I was able to start piecing together the puzzle of taking the educational psychology part of it, but applying it to a more traditional undergraduate population. And that's really kind of where I found the magic. And that's really where I fell in love with working with students. And from that point, I mean, I've been all in. So I've been all in. And, working at Northeastern has been an amazing opportunity to really try new things out. As a staff person, not only as a student, but as a staff person, I've been able to do so many different things beyond just a job scope. And really, that evolution, I think, has brought me here. If you had asked me a couple of years ago if I ever thought I'd work in advancement, I would have absolutely said, I can't imagine that. But I'm so glad I'm here now. And truly, this position feels like it is the perfect fit for me in terms of, as you said, that experience in the recruiting piece, the academic advising piece. And I think at the center of it, when we talk about relationships, Northeastern really is run on relationships of people who love being a part of the university, but also who want the best for the students as well. And I think my experience has helped to capitalize on that in terms of having a little bit of knowledge in all these different areas. I'm not an expert by any means in anything specifically, but I certainly know where to go as a reference point. And I think that's really helpful in this role.
I was going to ask you to just kind of run through, you mentioned you'd had a number of different professional positions here. Mm-hmm. I know you were in the College of Science and College of Engineering.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit
more about the laundry list.
The laundry list of different places? Because that does give you a really a terrific perspective on
Absolutely.
The university.
So to start with, I can tell you my first position was as a work study, as a full-time student here. It's a long time ago now. However, I truly started stuffing transcript envelopes mm-hmm. and delivering the paper grade sheets back in the day.
That.
Yes. if you ever saw anyone pushing a trolley with, 24-inch high stacks of paper for grade sheets, that was me delivering
them. Oh my
gosh,
did you have security?
No, but I can tell you where every ramp is on campus to get in and out of buildings. Certainly small jobs, but I was meeting a lot of people across campus. I worked full-time in my first position here on campus in the registrar's office and worked with the law school and doing transcripts for them. And then I had moved into another role as assistant registrar doing commencement stuff. Mm-hmm. So talk about coming full circle
right,
now that
right.
commencement is back in this unit. And then I had moved over to the College of Engineering to be an academic advisor for chemical engineering and absolutely loved it. Worked with an amazing group of people and an amazing team of advisors. And then I took a shot at managing, and that's how I ended up in the College of Science. So I went in there as an assistant director and kind of bounced around positions within the College of Science as well. And the last position I was in was the assistant dean of advising and enrollment management.
You and I have talked about this a little bit. How, as an advisor, do you balance really needing to get right the technical aspects of it? If you give the wrong advice, students might not get the mm-hmm. courses they need. They might not get the units they need. They might not do something they're supposed to do. And that will have a big impact with looking at that greater picture of who is this person, you know, is this the right major? Are they struggling? I think so much today we see that college students are struggling with identity, with how to think about their own futures, their ambitions. And a great advisor, I think, needs to bring both of those things to the relationship. You're a great advisor. I know many students
Thank
who
you.
Spend lots of time with you, and I want to talk about that balance, also, which we will in a minute. But how do you bring all of those aspects to the relationships you have with your students?
I think that's a wonderful question, and not just for me specifically, but for the professional profession of academic advising, especially here on campus. At Northeastern, it's such a nuanced position where truly I believe that our academic advisors are the retention center across the university. And all of the folks who are doing the work are experts in the policy, and that purely comes from tried and true practice, you know, and truly studying up on policies and learning them. But then also that extra special care, mm-hmm. if you will, which I think you're alluding to in terms of really being able to connect with students as a person and understanding where they are. Many of our students were very lucky come in where they are extraordinary students. Mm-hmm. And as an academic advisor here on campus, if something wasn't going well, it usually wasn't because of the academics.
Right.
It meant that there's something else happening in that student's life. And I think just being able to approach students in that human aspect and a caring aspect really helps cultivate that relationship. And I also remember advice that my first supervisor from the registrar's office had told me, where she had always said to leave people with a word of encouragement. And I think that simple little act of giving a nod to someone's, you know, successes, even if they're going through a hard time, or at least picking up on one trait that they can really feel good about and secure about, that can go such a long way with building these relationships. And that's something that I really have taken to heart, and I do try to do with students is we're here to support them, but also encourage them along the way. And usually it's the encouragement and the feeling they leave with more so than the information they leave with that makes them come back.
Hey, listeners, we're taking a brief pause to remind you that Giving Day is upon us. Rick Davis's team is still in need of volunteers for campus events on Giving Day, April 14th. It's always one of the most fun days of the year, and it's a wonderful way to interact with students. If you're interested in handing out snacks or swag to student donors, helping out with carnival games, or staffing photo ops, please reach out by contacting Alexa Lopez Ledesma. It's a pretty light time commitment, but it's very much appreciated. Thanks. Back to the podcast.
When you're terrific advisor and you have relationships with lots and lots of students, you know, from first years all the way through graduate students, people want to hang out with you. And I know we've got students who come in, I'm related to some of them, who just want to hang out and talk, you know, and let you know what's going on because they do know that you care. And at the same time, part of what we're working through is unprecedented demand for Northeastern education as demonstrated in 90,000 plus applications. Mm-hmm. You know, the increasing opportunity and therefore complexity once students are here of what they can pursue as majors, double majors, dual degrees, four plus ones, studying on this campus, studying at Mills at Northeastern, studying in London. You've really been looking not only at individual relationships with families that the advancement team is working with, but you've looked at putting in place some systems, I think, as well. Can you tell our colleagues a little bit about how you're approaching this, both at the systemic level and at the individual level?
It certainly is a balance, but I also think that even if you have only 5 minutes to spare, the quality of those 5 minutes are really what matter. Students are very good about popping up, but they're also really understanding that there's a lot happening here too. But I try to be able to be a resource to students in maybe non-traditional ways. So maybe that's a text message, or maybe that is having a designated time and space for students to come. Many years ago when I was an advisor, I had a student who quickly learned that at 5 o'clock, everyone else leaves, but Lauren, you can find her in her office. So there's small things, and certainly you have to create boundaries. However, I really do value the conversations I have with students. And looking back at it, you know, there's alum that I was their advisor 10 years ago, and I am still in contact with, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And now seeing them where they are in their careers and doing exceptionally well. So for me, I think the time investment is worth it, because if I sense that it's, you know, helping a student just find their place or being able to be the best that they can be while they're here in the classroom, then it's worth it. But with that being said, systems and process are extremely important to me in order to do so. That may come from working with engineers for 5 years, but I certainly am process driven. I do believe in being able to organize and create a process that makes sense for everyone, not just for myself or my mm-hmm. workload. Some of the new things that we have that were put in place were simply, you know, moving some referral forms online. So having central access for all members of the advancement team, rather than having to rely on emails and our inboxes all get so crowded, mm-hmm. That a lot of that can just be systemized and put into place. And I think that will make a huge help moving forward and a big impact moving forward. I also am certainly new in this role in terms I'm still within the first year. However, I think there's a lot of systematic wish list items that might not be too far off that we're going to be able to put in place and just have regular types of reporting and being able to anticipate. I am a huge believer in proactive behavior rather than reactive. And it's hard where you really, in this position, you really don't know what telephone call you're going to get or which email is going to come in the morning. So I think being as organized as possible, and, you know, that's something certainly I'm still working on. Again, not a master of anything yet. But that's where I would really like to see us, where the efficiency is down pat. The entire division of advancement will know what the process is when it relates to certain things that come out of the student leadership relations team. And I think that is a great starting point. And then that can kind of clear our mechanisms and capacities to be able to do all the really great creative work that comes with this role.
So Lauren, one of the important topics I think we want to bring to the division today, and sometimes an awkward one, is how is advancement perceived by other parts of the university, our colleagues that we work with closely for student success? You've come from outside of advancement, so you have a kind of a view into that that perhaps we don't have.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I have been on the partner side, if you will, in terms of collaborating with this office. And then now being in the office, it's so interesting to see my perceptions of before are different than my perceptions now. And I think that's true across the board, across the university. I think the biggest question is, what is university advancement and what do they do over there? Fair enough. I think that's a great question.
We ask ourselves too sometimes.
And I think a large part of my approach to working with our partners on campus is to keep that narrative in mind of being able to enter a conversation with that thought process of, you know, someone else might be thinking, why are you contacting me? What do you want from me?
Right.
And being able just to introduce myself, introduce why I'm contacting them in terms of not just a student inquiry, but saying that, you know, I work on this team of people. We are, you know, either had a call from a parent come in or whatnot, where truly it then becomes, you know, very realistic in nature and, a common practice, because those are the phone calls and emails that they're getting on the other side as well. And I think that certainly the more that we can build those bridges between all of our campus partners, quite literally, we are on the other side of the tracks here in the Boston campus. And I think that's just something to remember, that there is an order and operation that the entire university works along. And I think sometimes, you know, a great tip for our advancement folks is to learn what that ecosystem is. Working in an academic unit, I can tell you, is so different than working in a more centralized role. And each of our colleges on campus has a very distinctive character to it, which is great because it really is able to reflect the beliefs and the practices within each of these colleges. But also that means that we have to do our job in order to get to know what those characteristics are and what really makes our partners, you know, tick and what makes their job easier and how we can fit into that narrative. And just simply put, I try to triage as much as possible on our end so we can make it a little bit simpler. We're all working on the same team here at Northeastern, and it is just about, you know, building that rapport. And I definitely think that we're not certainly in a bad place at all, but I do look forward to being able to bring more knowledge of what University Advancement's doing to the rest of the university.
That's terrific. So appreciation always,
always
of what people are doing, how hard they're working, getting to know people, but not bugging them.
Yes, that's a great balance. That is a great balance.
Exactly. Lauren Machunas, when your door to your office right down the hall from me is open, I always feel great. I feel like I'm one of your advisees. We're so happy to have you be part of this advancement division. You bring it all together. You do remind us why it is we raise resources for a university that does unbelievable things for its community. So thank you for being part of the university community. Thank you for being part of advancement. And thank you to all of you for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you have thoughts about others you'd like to hear from, I hope this is an important platform for you to learn more about our colleagues. Run us down anytime. Tell us who you'd like to hear from or topics that you'd like to know about. And until episode 5, I wish you a very experientially empowered rest of your week.